أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We'll look at the tafsir of Surah An-Nasr. This surah is in a beautiful place in the Quran, at the end of the Quran. It was revealed at the end of the life of the Prophet ﷺ because the mission of the Prophet ﷺ was completed. Its name is from its mention in the first ayah, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحُ. Nasr means a big help, and Fat means a big victory, a special victory. This surah was revealed in Medina. In the previous surah, it was made clear that Islam was against the deen of Kufr. In this surah, the believers are given good news that the deen of Kufr, the deen of the idolaters, would soon be erased. And soon the deen of Islam would prevail, and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would soon receive a great victory. Makkah would be conquered, and many tribes would enter the fold of Islam in large groups, and with it the mission of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be complete, and he would pass away. Some say that this surah was revealed in Mina when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had gone for Hajjul Wada. Some say it was revealed on the day of conquest of Makkah. Its number of revelation is 114. And if we look in the Quran, there are only 114 surahs. So this was the last surah to be revealed. After this surah, no complete surah was revealed. Only ayahs were revealed, but not as a complete surah. In this surah, there is an indication for the Prophet ﷺ passing away. Because when the purpose of the Prophet ﷺ being sent as a prophet was fulfilled, that meant it was time for his departing. It is also said that this surah is equivalent to 1/4 of the Quran. If we think of the time when this surah was revealed, his companions, who loved the Prophet ﷺ more than they loved their own self, those who understand its hidden message, how they would have felt that the Prophet ﷺ is near his departure from this world. It is also said at the era of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu would have Abdullah ibn Abbas join in his gathering, who was just a young child. He would have him sit in with the gatherings of old men who had fought in the Battle of Badr. So perhaps one of them felt something in himself, that why Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu would have a child sit in their gathering. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, "You don't know." Then one day he invited all of them and invited Abdullah ibn Abbas as well to sit with them again. When they all had gathered, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked them about their knowledge regarding this surah, Surah An-Nasr, saying, "What do you know about this surah?" Some from them said, "We are commanded to praise Allah." And some said, "We are commanded to seek forgiveness for our sins. And then when the victory of Allah comes, what we should do." And then some just remain quiet. Then finally, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu turned his attention to Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu and asked, "Do you say the same thing?" He said, "No." Then he asked, "What was your understanding?" He said, "This surah gave the message of passing away of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was being informed that his life was coming to his end, and that he should occupy himself in tasbih, celebrating the praises of Allah, and seeking forgiveness." Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, "This is also what I know," and said, "When this surah was revealed, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, 'I have been informed of my death, and I will pass away this year.'" After the revelation of this surah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam increased his worship and doing zikr of Allah. It is also said that when this surah was revealed, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gathered his companions, and when he became ill, near the end of his days, when he was in his quarters, he could not even go to the masjid to pray in congregation. At that time, he had mentioned to Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu to lead the people in salah. So he would lead. One day, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam felt a little better and entered Masjid Nabawi. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu had just stood up to lead, but upon seeing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam moved back. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam indicated him to remain in his place. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sat there and led the salah as Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu followed him, and those behind them followed Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. After the salah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam addressed the people. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "A servant of Allah was given a choice to either choose Allah if he likes. So he has chosen meeting with Allah." Upon this, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu started to weep. The companions were surprised as to why he was weeping, as they thought that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was only speaking of a man who was given a choice of this life or meeting with Allah. What was the reason for crying? They could not understand. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu understood that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was indicating about himself and his passing away. We will look at the surah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Idha ja'a, when came. Idha comes for the future. So at that time, Makkah was not conquested yet. Nasrullahi wal fath. Help of Allah will come and victory will be granted. This is one meaning when idha is taken in the future context. Sometimes idha carries the same meaning as is, which means when something happened already in the past. So in this context, when the help of Allah came, what does that mean? When Muslims gain control over their enemies, wal fath, and they receive victory. Fath refers to the conquest of Makkah, because this was a very decisive victory and a profound victory. In Surah Al-Fil, we learn how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guarded his house and showed this miracle to the people of the Quraysh. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave victory to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and showed that Allah is with this group. Hand of Allah is upon this group. This was a clear victory, and people understood that this religion was the truth. Many tribes had not entered Islam prior to the conquest of Makkah, as they wanted to see who would conquer Makkah. And they would say if the Muslims were upon truth, they would conquer Makkah. Because no army on falsehood could ever conquer Makkah before, as what had happened with the people of the elephant. They knew if the Muslims were the group upon the truth, they would be able to conquer it. And if they were not, they would face the same consequences as those who faced before. Now, after the conquest of Makkah, the doubt they were in ended regarding who was upon the truth and who was not. The truth about the religion of Islam became clear and apparent to everyone. When the conquest of Makkah happened, as it is said that this surah may have been revealed at the time of conquest of Makkah, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was entering Makkah as a victor, he was reciting the surah and saying, "The promise I was made became true this day." Also, when we take it in the context of future tense, either when the victory will be granted, it means that the surah had already been revealed before the conquest of Makkah. So when the Prophet ﷺ was entering Makkah as a victor and he was reciting the surah, then after that he gave a sermon. He was reciting aloud, لا إله إلا الله وحده صدق وعده ونصر عبده وحزم الأحزاب وحده. As when one does say, they say these words, which was from the sermon of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even during Eid Salah, we recite these takbirat. It means that there is no God or ilah except Allah, the One. He alone vanquished the clans. This was all from Allah, and there was no power or ability from anyone else. It shows such humbleness that at the time of the conquest, what should one remember? That it is not in our capability, and there is no self-greatness, nor any credit can be taken or attributed to oneself or any other person. Rather, all credit and praise is for one Allah. Whoever gains victory should recite these kalimat. Today, nations conquer over other lands, and what destruction they cause. No one's wealth, nor property, nor their dignity or honor is guarded or protected. But when the Prophet ﷺ entered Mecca as a victor, the Prophet ﷺ was upon his camel, and his head was bowed so low in humility that it was touching the bridle of the camel. We learn that even as a victor, the Prophet ﷺ didn't show greatness or pride. While today, even if there is not any violence, there is so much commotion, and all limits are crossed. People do not fear the wrath of Allah and behave out of control, not only at the moments of victory, but even at times of celebration. People get out of control, even at times of weddings. And when we look at the Prophet ﷺ, we see him entering Mecca, praising Allah, and with humility. There is no pride or arrogance, nor being out of control. This is also the way of a mu'min, a true believer. Even at the time of happiness, there is no showing off, no showing of pride and way of excessiveness. Rather, should become humble. At the Battle of Yarmouk, which was an important battle, this was a big battle between Muslims and Romans. Because of previous losses faced by the Romans, they were ready to fight with fervor, and their fighters numbered 30,000. They took an oath of either victory or death. They wore chains on their ankles, so no one would even think of running away. There were thousands of priests and bishops standing with their crosses. They were arousing soldiers with calling out the name of Isa alayhi salam. But in front of their strength and faith of Muslims, they became weak. Around 4 lakh Christian soldiers perished. When Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu learned of this victory, in gratitude for this victory, he fell down in prostration to Allah. In those days, showing gratitude for victory was done this way by the believers. Their celebration was not crossing limits, breaking the commands of Allah, nor dancing mad, nor use of music and other useless things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted such a great victory to the Muslims, and this was the reaction of Muslims and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ, and you will see people, يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ, entering in the religion of Allah, أَفْوَاجَ, in large groups, in multitudes and multitudes. Before the conquest of Mecca, some people still feared some opposition from the Quraysh. Even if people recognized the truth of Islam, still feared repercussions from the Quraysh. And they would think because their idols were in the haram, they would not be allowed to do Hajj, or would face other negative consequences and enmity from the Quraysh of Mecca, who were very prestigious at that time. when Mecca was conquered, the people no longer feared the negative repercussions from the Quraysh. Also, they saw Islam as the true religion. So people started entering Islam in great numbers, and no one remained behind. About 700 people came from Yemen who had accepted Islam. They came giving calls of prayers to and reciting Quran on their way. Today we only see the downfall of Muslims and do not realize what is its victory. May Allah show us its rise. Those people were exemplary, so Allah granted them victory. Because of this victory, Arabs were entering the deen of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't say they were accepting Islam, becoming believers. Rather, they had entered the deen of Allah. Why doesn't it say they were becoming believers? Because they were entering the deen of Allah. It doesn't mean that the faith had entered their hearts yet. Whoever was entering Islam at the conquest of Mecca, it wasn't the same as those who had accepted Islam in the early Meccan period of the prophethood. They had firmly believed and the faith was in their hearts, while those who were accepting Islam at this time, at the conquest of Mecca, it is possible some had true faith, and there could have been some who entered this scene with good intention, but faith had not entered their hearts yet. Iman and faith develops over time. When we want to look at those who truly believed, those were who attested to Islam and then endured all the negative repercussions faced by them. They knew what they would have to face because of their believing, and they were the true believers. But those who entered Islam later, there were some who accepted Islam as their tribe was also accepting, and many tribes were accepting, and this was what others were doing, so decided to become Muslim and thought they would think about it later, what religion they would stay with. This is why we learn about tribes who became murtad. They turned back to disbelief after the Prophet ﷺ's death. This was because they had entered the fold of Islam, but the faith had not entered into their hearts as of yet. Because when there is true faith in the heart, the person would lose his life rather than letting go of his faith. Well, when a person only enters deen of Islam with a verbal testimony, then leaving it becomes easy, because it is only on the tongue and not in the heart. Not everyone's accepting Islam was the same. This is why it is called fi dinillahi afwaja. The Prophet ﷺ prophesied that a day will come. Prophet ﷺ mentions, as narrated in Musnad Ahmad narration, that upon this world there would not be a house, not of a brick, nor of a skin, where deen of Allah would not have entered it. It will enter every home, either one honorable with honor, or one humiliated with humility. So either a person will become honorable when he accepts, or will become humiliated when he doesn't accept and has to pay the jizya, a tax for non-Muslims living in a Muslim land. But the truth of Islam will become clear in front of everyone. No one will remain who doesn't know about Islam. Tasabbih, so glorify, bihamdi, with praises, Rabbika, of your Lord, your sustainer. So glorify with praises of your Lord. Wastaghfiruh, and seek his forgiveness. This is why Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that after the revelation of this surah, whenever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would pray, he would supplicate with these words, Subhanaka Rabbina wa bihamdika Allahumma ghfirli. This is a Bukhari Muslim narration. So it is a tasbih, praises and seeking forgiveness of Allah. All these things the Prophet ﷺ in the last days of his life would recite these kalimat profusely. He would also recite Subhanallah wa bihamdihi astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayk. Allah is pure and for him is all praise, and I turn in repentance to him and bow to him. Whenever a person gains victory or at the time of his happiness, he should recite these kalimat. Even while going in ruku or in prostration, the Prophet would recite Subhanallah wa bihamdika Allahumma ghfirli. So we can also include these kalimat in our ruku's and sujood. Umm Salama would say the Prophet in the last years of his life would recite Subhanallah wa bihamdihi while getting up, going around, sitting, sleeping, whatever he would do, he would recite these kalimat. She said that once I asked why he was reciting these kalimat in such great abundance. The Prophet ﷺ recited this surah and said that this is a command from Allah. In Musnad Ahmad, it is also mentioned that when this surah was revealed, the Prophet ﷺ would recite infrequently in salahs, and we recite in his ruku's 3 times, Subhanaka Allahumma Rabbana wa bihamdika Allahumma ufirli innaka anta tawwabu rahim. These were the tasbihat of the Prophet ﷺ. In it, 2 things are mentioned. First, at the time of happiness that we should recite these kalimat. There is a difference in a way a believer and a disbeliever celebrate. If a believer celebrates in the same manner as a disbeliever, then these are the times that show who has iman, who has firm belief in Allah, and who is one without any iman. Today, ways of the Muslim and the disbelievers are the same, no matter how great the success one gets. Who should be praised? Only Allah, not saying, I am proud of myself. Rather, all praise is for Allah. This is not in our ability. Just as soon as we finish Salah, we say Allahu Akbar. Only Allah is greater, and we shouldn't get thoughts that I prayed so well. We should do istighfar, because whatever one accomplished in his path, or even did as worship, it is not as due and as right of. After we pray Salah, after Allahu Akbar, we say Astaghfirullah 3 times. Because even if you had just prayed, not doing a deed of sin, still we do Istighfar because it was not at the level that is due upon Allah. The first matter is to have recognition that it is not our own greatness. When we remember this, we will never be arrogant, nor will we have feelings of self-greatness, nor will expect praise or recognition or reward for any good that we do. Rather, all praises are for Allah. If anyone strove in his path, even then, all praises for Allah. A person cannot attribute good works to himself, no matter if it is the work of deen or the world, the dunya. Whether if someone gets a job, a promotion, passes a test, or gets any form of success, they should only do as Allah says, فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ. This is the command Allah gave to the Prophet ﷺ, and in a way he taught him, and we should adopt that way. So this is the way to celebrate for a Muslim. Also, after praising Allah with the tongue, then he will show gratitude by using his bodies in striving in the way ordained by Allah. Alhamdulillah is praising and thanking Allah. If one doesn't remember the long tasbihat that we just learned, then everyone knows about Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Astaghfirullah. So if we remember these 3 things, if not everyone, most people know this surah by heart. So if we remember, فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ, سبح سبحان الله بحمده إذ الحمد لله واستغفر الله إذ أستغفر الله. We have to do these three things. Giving thanks to Allah. Alhamdulillah is not only giving thanks to Allah, but also a praise of Allah. Also, when a person gives thanks to Allah, he recognizes that Allah gave him the ability to accomplish what he accomplished. The Prophet ﷺ said, on the day of Qiyamah, will all of mankind will assemble. An angel will call out, and all will hear. It will be announced. Where are the people who would praise Allah in every condition, whether in happiness or in sadness? People usually remember Allah in times of sadness and even start reading Quran. But in times of happiness, how many praise Allah? So it will be announced, where are the ones who praised Allah in every condition? So a group of people will get up and will enter Jannah without any account. So praising Allah is not a small matter, but have to do it in every condition, whether if anyone is happy or sad. إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا. Indeed, he is one who accepts repentance. When someone does this, Allah will turn towards them and accept their repentance. If due to a sin of a person, Allah turned away from the person, then Allah will turn back towards them. What is tawwab from Allah? It means Allah turns his attention to the person. At the end of this surah, we must look at our shortcomings and see where we are lacking. Also, as we near the end of this course, we should give thanks to Allah for this blessing. In another narration of Musnad Ahmad, it is mentioned, when a neighbor of Jabir bin Abdullah returned from a journey, Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu went to see him. He said there was dissension and dispute among people, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had passed away, and people were introducing new matters into deen. So Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, had tears in his eyes. Weeping, he said, I have heard from the Prophet of Allah that people would enter the deen of Allah in crowds, but soon people would also leave it in crowds. People would enter deen in multitudes. Then the day will come when people will leave it in multitudes. Then again the time will come when the kalima of Allah will enter every home. If we study the Quran, we see the journey early Muslims traversed. There was a time in early days when Muslims were persecuted, and a companion came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was sitting with his back on the Kaaba. The companion asked, when will the help of Allah come? Now the help of Allah came, and it surely comes. But before it comes, steadfastness is needed. A person shouldn't lose hope or waver. A person should never let go of patience. Today, the humility and downfall of Muslims will pass, and the help of Allah will come. But during this phase, we are being tested, whether we remain steadfast or not. Then the Muslims saw the day when all of Arabia became Muslims. There were no non-Muslims left. There were some, but majority of people had accepted Islam, and they witnessed great victory. However, before they reached this, there was a lot of sacrifices, patience, hard work, and struggle. When a person keeps working with sincere intentions, then the help of Allah surely comes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you help Allah, then Allah will surely help you and make your foothold strong. Deen prevails, and the help of Allah only comes when people are ready to help themselves and are ready to strive. They do not wait for miracles or angels to descend, but should do hard work, then will find the help of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open doors man can even imagine. The proof of this is how Mecca was conquered. Another matter of consideration is that Allah has forgiven the past and future, all sins of the Prophet ﷺ. Then why is he asked to make istighfar? One reason is that with this, Allah raised the ranks of the Prophet ﷺ, as the Prophet ﷺ did not have any sins. All people are with faults, and no one is free. But if anyone thinks that they never sinned or made any mistakes, then they must remember that even the Prophet ﷺ is known to have said that he sought forgiveness 70 times. And in another narration, it is mentioned that he did istighfar or sought forgiveness 100 times. The Prophet ﷺ said, any person who does istighfar after a sin, he did not persist upon a sin. Because if anyone who persists and does not repent, Allah doesn't accept their repentance. So whoever does istighfar means that they did not persist upon it, even if he sins 70 times during the day. Even if the person commits a sin 70 times, but asks for forgiveness every time, he will not be among those who persist upon sin. No one should persist upon sin. It doesn't mean that he doesn't fall into sin again. Being persistent means a person sins and thinks he didn't sin or do any wrong, and he doesn't repent. We must keep on repenting, even if we make a mistake 100 times. Repent every time. We must keep doing istighfar. Why did the Prophet ﷺ do it? Because of his istighfar, his ranks were raised. And from his doing it, his ummah was given this training. If the Prophet ﷺ did istighfar and repented so much each day, then how much should we do it? The third reason is, no matter how much a person worships, and no matter how much he is obedient to Allah, the right of Allah is so much that no person can give the due right due to Allah. So whenever a person finds his worship lacking in respect to what is the right of Allah and knows he didn't give the complete right in his worship, then he should do istighfar upon it. This was another reason for the Prophet ﷺ doing istighfar, that the right of each good was not given to the fullest. The right of Allah is great. The fourth reason is, the more a person recognizes Allah and realizes His greatness, His majesty, the more he feels his actions, his worship, his striving lacking in respect to His greatness. So he does istighfar. The more one recognizes Allah, the more they would do istighfar. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Please listen to the recitation.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Idha jaa nasrullahi wal fath wa ra'aytan nas yadkhuluna fi dinillahi أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفر إنه كان توابا.